Hear something tonight that is more simply just a practical thing. I've determined that, and especially after studying 2 Peter, that I just want to share things by way of remembrance. Things that you've probably heard, things that you've known. Hopefully you've implemented them in your life. If not, they will be the difference between whether you stay faithful to God or not. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, a verse that we looked at this morning, and I know I feel kind of bad that I skipped over chapter 2, but there's so much in chapter 1 and chapter 3 of 2 Peter. There's so much in chapter 2 also, but it's just, I just didn't have peace about sharing that on Sunday morning, the things that I've learned in that chapter. But verse number 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, let's read. Let's stand together, and if you're able to stand, stand, and let's read it together. Just verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, read it with me, okay? This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And I want to speak, I guess, the title I put in the bulletin already, and I really wasn't sure how exactly I knew the main things I wanted to share with you, but what under those main categories I want to share with you tonight, I didn't know till this afternoon. But the title is Stirring Up Purity in Your Minds by Way of Remembrance. I'm going to challenge you to something tonight. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful that we could call you our Father, that you are in heaven. In fact, all of heaven cannot, all of earth, all eternity cannot contain our God. And Lord, you live in us, but more important, we live in you. And Lord, sometimes we're so self-focused that we're not able to see ourselves the way you see us. We're your children. We're part of you. Lord, thank you for all that we have in Christ. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and lives. Lord, that we would learn to give ourselves wholly to you. And the only way we could possibly do that is give ourselves wholly to the Word of God. And I pray that you would stir in our hearts a challenge that you've given to me years ago, and I'm still working on it, and I'll never get to where I ought to be. And we pray that you would just bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a seat if you will. And my wife's in the nursery. I'm not sure if she can hear me or not, but she told me she's in the nursery. I thought, man, I got a message just for you tonight, too. So I kind of read over briefly what I was going to talk about tonight. So I just say things like that to see if she was listening, all right? To see whose kids are down there screaming so she can't hear what's going on up here, right? Jack's up here, so it'll be calm down there, right? All right. Hey, he's ready to preach. He came up and gave me the microphone. I said, man, you can wear it and preach tonight. So, but he looks like he's ready to preach tonight. the greatest decisions that I made in my life that have changed everything, I want to talk to you about one of them tonight and encourage you, if you've not made that decision, to make it tonight. The first one, of course, the most important, is that of salvation. Amen? And found out that life is worth living when you live with Jesus. And then I quickly decided, if God is real and Jesus lives in His church and lives through His people, and the people in that church have been such a blessing to me, I'm going to live my life for the local church that God put me in. This is only the third church I've been a member of my entire life, well, since I've been saved. This is my life. My church was my life long before I was a pastor of the church. And the third decision, and I don't know if these are necessarily in the order, maybe they are, I guess, but the marriage of Carol. Now, you can't partake of that one, but that was one of the great decisions in my life. Young people, you'll never understand while you're young the value of finding the right husband or wife. That will make or break you as a Christian. That will make or break you the rest of your life in your walk with God. And then a very important decision. And again, some of these were kind of made simultaneously, and I'm not sure what exactly the order chronologically they were, and that is of memorizing Scripture. I'm glad that I was challenged as a young Christian to memorize Scripture. And we're going to talk to you about memorizing Scripture tonight and just some very simple truths of the value of memorizing Scripture. I believe that one of the greatest tragedies of our day today is that, well, two things, both eyes, or is it two things that way, one on each hand, two things, well, they go together, the two things that we do not do, and it shows in our type of Christianity. We don't memorize Scripture, and we don't meditate on Scripture. If we're not memorizing, we can't meditate. Those are two very important principles. And then I'm grateful that I learned to develop the discipline to study and meditate on Scripture. Now, when I talk about memorizing Scripture, I know the first response the devil whispers in your ear. In fact, he probably doesn't whisper. He's probably already shouted it in your ear tonight. Oh, I tried that. I can't do it. I can't memorize things. Yes, you can. I didn't get any response there. Everybody's looking down. Huh? What? I don't know about that. Yes, you can. And yes, you need to if you are going to be the Christian that God wants you to be. Don't let's say I can do. Philippians 4:13 says I can do what? All things. Now, some folks have a harder time memorizing. And I dare say there's probably not many people, if anybody, that has a harder time memorizing things than I do. And I say it often, I think I said it last week, that I've got grades all the way through high school that prove I can't memorize things. But I got saved when I was out of high school. And then I learned I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I also learned this, that I've got to work harder at it than most people. You can do it. I'm grateful for someone that was an influence in my life. I've been looking back at people that have influenced and just thanking God for them. And one of them, I hadn't seen him for years. Last spring, I got to go down and see him. He lives in Florida. I haven't seen him for such a long time. But he would always say this, and I've heard other people say it too, but that's where I heard it the most every other Sunday in Sunday school. We do what we want to do. Don't say you can't. Be honest enough to say, I don't want to memorize Scripture. Because you can. You memorize a lot of things on accident. You'd be amazed what you could memorize on purpose. And I just want to talk to you, first of all, about the necessity of Bible memory. And just share some things that God says, and this could be for the next 6 weeks. We could talk about this, but I'm just going to share a few things. First of all, Bible memory is, to me, and this is why God instilled in my heart, actually before I got saved, I understood the importance of this. Bible memory is important to understand what salvation is. Did you get that? It's important to understand what salvation is. A verse in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 and 16 and 17. You probably know the verses. At least you would recognize them. I'm not sure if I could quote them. I just pulled some out of the hat this afternoon, didn't have time to review them, and that's a part of memory. But I'm going to share some practical things with you. And Second Timothy 3, verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation." Through faith which is in Christ Jesus, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Let me tell you, and I know I shared this before, and sometimes I wonder if people hear it, but When I first visited a Baptist church, I was scared because of what I was told about Baptists. And by the way, most people in our community are scared to come in here because of what they've heard about Baptists. But I understand that completely because I was there once. And but what shocked me is in Sunday school, the youth pastor, as a teenager, I went there and went to a teen Sunday school class. He said, everybody in here ought to know the Romans Road. And I thought, what in the world's a Romans Road? So I had my Bible. I was told you need to bring your Bible if you're going to the Baptist church. So I brought my Bible. I started thumbing through my Bible and found the maps in the back of the book. That must be the Romans Road back here. And I even found it. It was Paul's journey to Rome. There's the Romans Road right there. And what does this have to do with anything? But then he started sharing how you ought to memorize. And he was challenging all the teenagers to memorize the verses. He gave us a list of verses that he called the Romans Road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. And you know those verses. And I thought, well, and then in the preaching service, the preacher asked if you were to stand before God. And he was to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? And I thought, what would you say? I said, I don't know. Maybe I ought to memorize John 3:16 along with that. So I thought, I have something to say. Didn't have a clue what it meant. But I began to learn the language of Christianity and learn the verses of the Romans Road. Now, it took me a while to learn them, but I learned them. And when I did get saved, I led myself to the Lord because I already knew those verses. And young people ought to know those verses. Adults ought to know those verses. Somebody asks you, you ought to know those verses. You ought to just pop them off in your head. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Bible memory is necessary for sharing salvation with others, for being saved yourself. Now, you don't have to memorize Scripture to be saved, but it is helpful. You have doubts of your salvation, but memorizing Scripture will make those doubts disappear. And then to learn to love God, you ought to memorize Scripture. In Psalm 119. That's the longest psalm there is, and that is a psalm worth memorizing. I've never memorized that entire psalm. I memorized sections of it, or share a section of it, but to me what helped me understand that is in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verses 5 through 9. You ought to at least write these down, okay? Write these verses down, the references down. You don't have to write the whole verse out. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Does that sound like something somebody quoted in the New Testament? Jesus did. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy doorposts, and put as frontlets in thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. They should be in your heart. If you're going to love God, and by the way, Deuteronomy 6 also tells us if you're going to train your children to live for God, you've got to memorize Scripture. And you've got to talk to them about Scripture during the day and ask them, what's God doing in your heart? What's God doing in your life? Boy, that is a principle that we often neglect. You know, we read all the psychology books and how to train our children, how to rear our children. Get back to the Bible and you can find some simple truths by memorizing Scripture and loving God. And I'm told that by historians that the reason Jesus quoted actually Deuteronomy 6 through 8, every time he was tempted of the devil, he quoted the Scripture. They all come from chapter 6 through 8. Every Jewish young person memorized the entire book of Deuteronomy in Jesus' day. And you say, well, Jesus was God. Yes, he was. But he had to go through things just like you and I did. He had to learn just like you and I did. He had to develop mentally and physically just like you and I do. And he was no different than any other Jewish young person that memorized the book of Deuteronomy and probably memorized the Psalms as well. But to love God, it's necessary to memorize Scripture. And John chapter number 14, 15, and 16, and 17 also are great chapters to memorize that talk about loving God. And then to overcome fear. Joshua 1, most of us know verse number 8, but I think that's just the cap, so that's the cherry on the top of the dessert. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, some of us And God called us to preach, and I said, no, I can't do that. And I can't even stand up in front of anybody and tell them my name, let alone preach the gospel. But overcoming fear, this chapter has meant so much to me over the years. And I think back in my early Bible college days and memorizing this chapter and asking God to give me the boldness and help me to get over the fear. And by the way, it still didn't come for years. In fact, it's still not completely gone. But Joshua 1, verse 7 through 9 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not to it from thy right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law, this is a verse you probably know, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. To overcome fear, to be spiritually prosperous. I'm thinking of so many other verses I could pull up now and think of, but spiritual prosperity. Now, spiritual prosperity is far different than the world's prosperity. In fact, it doesn't even resemble the things that the world would call prosperous. And God's people kind of struggle with that, and they don't know it. But Psalm chapter 1 is a great chapter. And I remember when God taught me the value of memorizing that chapter. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not prosper, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm not sure if I got that all right. But notice, and by the way, notice this in Joshua 1, and this is something that struck me years after I memorized, when I learned to meditate on these verses that you memorize. In Psalm 1 and in Joshua 1, 8, it says, thou shalt meditate on the what of the Lord, the word of the Lord? The law of the Lord. You ever notice that? In fact, most of the time when God says to meditate on things, he meditate on the law of the Lord. Not just the word of the Lord. Now, we like to memorize John 3:16 and those wonderful verses about heaven. But God says, no, you meditate and memorize the law of the Lord. The book of Deuteronomy is referred to as the second law, or the summary of all of God's law in dealing with God's people. That's what you memorize. And why is it that we meditate on the law? Because the law has two purposes. The law tells us that we're sinners. We need that constant reminder that I am a sinner, to know who I am. And the law's second reason is to tell us of the person of Christ, to point to our Redeemer. That's why we meditate on the law of God. The moral law tells me I'm a sinner. The prophetic law that was fulfilled, both of them were fulfilled by Jesus Christ, were all pictures of the Messiah that would come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, God says, memorize and meditate on the law of the Lord. And then, if we want to have answered prayer, do you like to have answered prayer in your life? Oh, I'd like to know how to pray. You're not going to have answered prayer until you learn to memorize Scripture. I could give you a number of verses here, but the first one that comes to mind is John 15. Oh, I love John 15. And verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, you've got to memorize. They're in your life. Ye shall ask what ye want, and it shall be done to you. There's the importance of prayer being answered by memorized Scripture. We could go on and on about this. How about victory over sin? I know, we don't struggle with any sin, right? We got it all figured out. I'm struggling with some things right now, as a matter of fact. Boy, I'd sure like to pray with God's people about things that we're struggling with. We need each other to encourage each other. Folks are afraid to ask. Well, I don't want to know about that. But we're not going to get victory over anything in our life until we learn to memorize Scripture and meditate on Scripture. You know the verse, Psalm 119. Verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to thy word? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against thee. The only way I'm going to get victory over sin is putting God's word in my heart, in my life. And by the way, memorizing puts it up here. Meditating on it puts it down here. I'm going to explain the difference here in a little bit. But memorizing Scripture and meditating, a lot of people have a whole lot of knowledge up here. In fact, I know some lost people. They don't even claim to be saved. In fact, they mock salvation. And they could quote more Bible than most Christians I know. A lot of people can know it up here, and a lot of Christians know it up here, but it doesn't make a difference until it gets down here. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then this is one that I kind of laugh about this one. In fact, I remember what chapter it was in. There's two verses actually in Jeremiah chapter number 1 that kept me in the ministry. A lot of folks don't know this. When I started preaching, I thought, but this was before everybody had a camera on their phone and everything. And I thought video cameras were still kind of new back then. And I thought, I want to have a video camera in here just to show people during the church service. And in fact, the first time I ever preached behind a pulpit in a church, ever since then, when somebody's preaching, they've got my attention. I'm smiling. I'm nodding my head. I'm taking notes, writing their jokes down too. Maybe that'll help, but I'm taking notes because I know what it's like to be up there now. And there's no lonelier place on the face of the earth than up here, especially when you got folks out there sound asleep, folks staring at their phone the whole time, never look at you once. Or they're convicted about something and they're not going to look at you, not going to talk to you, they're going to avoid you before and after the service, come in late, leave early, and one of those situations. Or they're sitting there wagging their head and whatever else. Oh, there's nothing more discouraging, especially if you've got the kind of personality that I do, that are not comfortable in front of people anyway. But God gave me two verses years ago that helped me so much. Otherwise, I would have been amongst the list of preachers that were only here for a year or so if God didn't give me these verses that I committed to memory back there. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 8 is one. Be not afraid of their faces. Huh? That's a good one there. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then verse number 17, this one's even better yet. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Be not afraid of their face. Be not confounded by their faces. Boy, you see that. And sometimes I think, wow, if you could see. I'm not saying that you've got any better, because you got to look at this ugly mug. I'm not sure who's got it worse, but I want to be an encouragement to my preacher. I want to be encouraged, and that is so, and God helped me with that tremendously. And we could go on and on, but I'm going to stop there and go to the second thing I want to point out, and some very practical things that God used in my life to help me start on the road to Bible memory. Now, I wish I had the memory that most of you do. You say, well, I can't memorize anything. You know, it's funny to me that we can memorize things at work. We can memorize things of songs, of movies, secular things, family jokes. We can memorize all those things, but we can't memorize Scripture. Isn't that strange? Don't let the devil tell you that you can't memorize Scripture. And there's some very simple, practical things that I'm so glad that God helped me with. Really, aside from my pastor, somebody that he would have come to our church quite regular, and a lot of you probably wouldn't even know who he is. And if you do know who he is, you know him for something else that he was well noted for before he got off track on this. But My pastor would have him come to our church when he used to preach in churches before he got too big for churches and started his TV ministry and then went goofy on a lot of things. And now he's off. I don't even know if he's still alive anymore. The name Jack Van Impe, meaning, I think he was here once. Was he ever here?
No, I was here.
Okay, I was thinking that somebody told me he was here once before, long before I was here. So, how many of you know who Jack Van Impe is? Not very. Oh, yeah, Rexella, the queen of Christian music, I think is how he would introduce her. Jack, before he got focused on prophecy and then started this big worldwide ministry, and then he got goofy because he was so focused on prophecy. And if you focus on prophecy, everything's got to be new and fresh, and there's got to be a communist. Back then, you had to be a communist behind every corner. Now there's, I don't know what there is, but yesterday the Lord was going to come and we missed him or something. I don't know. People are making up crazy things now. But Jack Van Impe used to go from church to church teaching the value of Bible memory. When I first heard him in our church, he had the entire New Testament memorized. You could yell out a reference, he could tell you what the verse says. And he was halfway through the Old Testament. He had a great memory. I've learned a few, there's a few other people that I met in my journey that had a tremendous ministry. But sometimes that, with that comes the pride. And it can destroy them if they don't keep things focused. He introduced us to a method of Bible memory that I've used for years, and I thought I've kind of changed it over the years, but let me tell you, the Bible says, thy word have I, what? Posted on Facebook. Or maybe you're more spiritual than Facebook, so maybe you post on Instagram. Thy word have I posted on social media, so I will not sin again. Does that do us any good? I did a study. Thy word have I done a study on. I've learned a lesson from thy word. Is that going to keep me from sin? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hung in my wall. Deuteronomy talks about hanging on your wall and the doorpost. Thy word have I wrote on my wrist or carried around my neck. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's such value in memorizing the scripture. Let me tell you this, if you don't develop a plan, you will not memorize scripture. If you say, oh yeah, I should do that. You go away tonight and say, oh yeah, I should do that. But you don't start anything. You don't have a plan, a procedure, how you're going to memorize scripture. It ain't going to be done. And by the way, you don't need an app. And probably the worst thing you can do is say, oh, I got an app for that. And you ever notice how you don't know anybody's phone number anymore? Huh? How many of you could tell me what my phone number is by memory? Anybody? I don't even know what my wife's phone number is. I got to look it up on my phone sometime. But I got an app for that. You know, we've got computers and phones to do everything for us. So, well, I don't have to memorize scripture because all I got to do is pull it up on my phone. I've got my phone with me all the time because that's my God. I can pull that up anytime I want it. And there it is right there. That's not the formula for memorizing and meditating on scripture. In fact, that'll do more harm than good. Because we think we're memorizing it, but we're really asking a device to memorize. You get rid of that device, what have I got? Nothing. You go to your prayer closet, I don't know how to pray because I don't have my phone here with me. I don't know how to get victory over sin, but I'm facing the sin. Almighty phone, could you tell me how to get victory over this sin? Now, let the Holy Spirit be important to you. Develop a plan to memorize Scripture. And let me give you a few things. First of all, it won't be easy. Now, some people can memorize things. I don't think there's anybody in here. But I don't know. Maybe you would. You know, when I was in school, I was put with the kids that couldn't read, that weren't real smart. In fact, some teachers said, "You're just dumb." I'm sorry, that's the age that I grew up in. Teachers would tell you that once in a while. And I thought, I could play that game. They didn't know that I couldn't read. I couldn't understand. And by the way, that was a bigger struggle to me than learning to memorize Scripture. I lived up to from about third grade to high school. That's where I ran into the wall at third grade. And I'm getting sidetracked here. It's not going to be easy. And you don't need an app. You don't need some kind of fancy doodad or whatever, some kind of buzzer to remind you to do this. The simple plan that I started with is 3x5 cards. And by the way, when I started this, I could barely afford to buy 3x5 cards. I'd find scrap paper and cut them into 3x5 cards. I didn't like doing that because they didn't usually have lines on them and rulers on them. I remember in Bible college, I worked as a janitor, and I'd be sorting through the trash when I threw it out. Hey, there's some 3x5 cards in there, and they're blank. Some of them were only blank on one side, so I just scribble off the one side. This is just a method that I use. The verse that I've been working on the last couple of days, I did, and I haven't used this. I'll tell you why in a little bit. For years, but this is the way that I got started. To write out the verse, as I said, write it out. Don't copy and paste. Don't cut it. Don't keep it on your phone. Write it out. That's a very important process, writing it out. Write out the entire verse on one side. The verse that I was memorizing was 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And I will say this, that's a long verse to fit on a 3x5 card. I actually didn't write it on a card until yesterday. And I wrote it on the card 5 times before it fit. But every time I wrote it, I thought, that's a blessing. That's helping me to write it out. Writing it out is a part and a very important part of learning. If you're given it, you print it out in a piece of paper and you look at it, it's going to help you tremendously if you write it out. And I'm not sure if this is such a good idea. This is just the way I was taught. I'm not sure if this is why I often can say the verse but not the reference. Because if you could see the card, you see it's got the verse written on one side and the reference on the other side. That's supposed to be helpful, but I'm not so sure. And for a while, I started doing it on both on one side because I would memorize a verse and then turn it over and memorize a reference, but I could never get them both to match up. Write it on a 3x5. Why a 3x5 card? Because a 3x5 card can fit in your pocket. You can carry it anywhere you go. What if I wear it out? Well, then you get to write it out again. And the truth is, I had a shoebox full of 3x5 cards by the time I got out of Bible college, because every time I got it was in devotions and talking to the Lord or heard a good message or saw a good verse, I thought, I'm going to commit that to memory. And you're not going to, if you get one a week, you're going to have a good progress. You're going to have a good head start. Say, well, I've got to memorize this whole chapter. But I would suggest you start with gospel verses. Start with, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I already know that one. Reviewing is important. I mentioned the verses that I shared with you tonight. I've memorized them all in the past, but I don't review them as often as I should because I've got so many that I've committed to memory. When you have it in a card and keep any order you want, figure out whatever order. Some people have a cards for salvation, some have cards of holiness, or whatever the case may be, but you've got to start somewhere. And this is the simplest way I know to start. Get some 3x5 cards. We got more money than we know what to do with today, so money's not a problem like it was in my day. Write it on 3x5 cards. And to start with gospel verses, write it. Don't cut it and paste it. Read it. When you look at it, read it out loud. For we know that the righteousness, know ye not, and I showed it to my wife after I wrote it 5 times. I was so proud. I got it all on 5. She said, that is the sloppiest writing. Thank you, dear. I don't write very pretty. That's why I don't handwrite anything. And I don't spell very good either. So I got to make sure I look at every word when I compare it to the Bible too. So it takes a little while for me to write it out. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor covetous, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. but ye are washed, that ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, of our God. And if you notice when I've gone through that, and you can't see it from there, but some of the key words, because there's a list, I just underline that key word. That helps me to see that key word. And if you get good, you can start leaving words out, and I've never gone to that route, but sometimes that's helpful. But write it in a card. Read it often. Read it multiple times a day. Don't read it 20 times when you get up in the morning and then forget about it. Read it every hour. Read it throughout the day. Carry it with you. Put it somewhere. I've put them everywhere. I've put them on the dashboard of my car. Now, you don't want to do that until you got it down pretty good, because you don't want to be looking at reading the whole thing. When you get it down just about all the way, and read it over and over again, after a while, you're going to start to catch it, but you get stuck every once in a while. That's when you need to glance down, when you get stuck. I had paper clips sometimes tape it to the mirror the vanity, if you have a lot of vanity and you're in front of the vanity all the time, but put it in a convenient place. I used to have a buffing machine that I used all the time at work when I was in college, and I had a paperclip that I rigged up there and said, "What is that thing for?" That's where I put my memory verses. You got to be careful, because back then telephones had cords to them, and that buffer went 1500 RPMs. And when that hits a phone cord, you don't know it until that phone splats against the wall over there. I don't know how many phones I've learned to put back together. It's kind of funny when you put the numbers in the wrong spot, make sure it works. But anyway, put it, and you don't want to be reading it, but to have it with you, carry it with you when you're sitting, and you'll be surprised how much idle time we have doing nothing. Take that card out and look at it. Go over it again. If you practice it once a day, you're not going to get it. If you practice it at least a dozen times a day, by the end of the week, you'll get it. You'll have it. And you'll be surprised, even folks that have a hard time memorizing things like I do, you'll still be able to get it. And read it out loud. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. And memorize. And this is so important, because I learned this while I was learning to read with discernment. I was a type of student, and most people don't understand, maybe you do. When I was asked to, when they were having reading in school, I tried, the only other time anybody else did this is when they were practicing in case there's a nuclear war attack, you hide under your desk. When the teacher's calling on people to read out loud, I'd hide under my desk. Because when I got up to read, all I could hear is everybody giggling. And the teacher would say, "You're not real smart. Let's just give him a break." When I did get a sentence put together, all I was doing is getting all the letters to line up and getting the words to line up and saying the right words. And I said, "I'm real slow," because it took a little time to process all that in my mind. And I remember reading something, and the teacher would say, "What did you just read?" And I said, "I do not have a clue what I just read. All I was focusing on is getting," and I didn't understand this then, I didn't say this, "all I was focusing on is getting the letters in line to say the words." And most people have not struggled with that, but that's just something that God allowed me to go through in a trial in my life. But because of that, I've learned the value of in memorizing Scripture. I can't just memorize words without understanding some things about those words. Some people can sit through and read something and, "Oh, I got it down." If you're like that, I want to come up here after the service. I want to slap you real hard, okay? And I've known some people that have photographic memory. I got a photographic memory. There's just no film in my camera. So I read something and I have no idea. And I can't just memorize words. The words have to have some meaning to them. But the blessing of that is when you get the verse down and understand the meaning of the verse, it sticks with you. You understand what it's teaching. And sometimes I get the verse, but the words aren't exactly right, but I know what it's saying. But you need to practice. You can do it. Memorize with understanding. Don't just memorize words. I try to emphasize that with kids and young people, and they memorize Scripture. What's the verse say? What's it mean? I have no idea. I don't know what any of those words mean. They just memorize the scripture to get their little points on the wall or whatever. Carry it with you in a conspicuous place. Quote it. Only look at it when you get stuck. Review multiple times a day. Some of these I've already covered. And meditate on it. Absorb it. Let it transform your life. That's when it really begins to do its work. Because I don't know what's in my heart. Only God knows what's in my heart. Now, a lot of other people think that they know what's in my heart, but I don't even know what's there. And when it really does its work is when we meditate on it. Think about it over and over again. Review it. And the reason you write them down, keep them in a file. And by the way, the reason I quit using this is about the time I graduated from college, I was encouraged by a preacher that I listened to on the radio all the time, not just memorizing verses, memorize chapters. It's kind of hard to keep a whole chapter on a card. You'd have 15 cards with one chapter written out. I thought it was a little easier to write it out on a piece of paper or just to use your Bible. I always carried a Bible with me, not a phone, but a Bible. I'd always write it out on a piece of paper, write the whole chapter out multiple times and read it out loud over and over again. And a lot of times the key chapters, I mentioned Jessica said something about memorizing 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and 1 Peter 3, I've memorized, or 2 Peter 1 and 2 Peter 3, I've memorized in the past. They're both great chapters. Chapter 2, not so much fun to memorize. But chapters in the Bible are so important to memorize sections of Scripture. And we say, well, you're probably not going to start there. If you start somewhere, start with a come up with a schedule that works for you. I can guarantee you, I don't know how many people, I've read a couple of books recently that talked about having a memory program, and they mentioned the 3x5 card. I thought that was just unique with how I was taught. A lot of people use that. And that is, I still think, the best way to start. Don't say, well, I've got it all electronically now, but you're not writing it out. And chances are you're not reading it out loud. And you're not reviewing it like you should. And when you keep these in a file somewhere, and I said, I don't know whatever happened to it. I used to have a shoebox full of them. I think it got eaten by mice or something at one time, but it's long gone now. But you can just go through them, rotate through them. In fact, I found that it helped me to punch a little hole in the corner and keep it on a big bind or a ring thing that you can carry around and just pull out the few that, but you've got to have, if you don't have a plan, I guarantee you, you're going to hit and miss scripture and it's really not going to do you any good. You've got to memorize scripture if you want to walk with God. There's no other way around it. And you know, and again, this kind of dates me. When I got saved, everybody was sure until Reagan was elected that in 10 years we're going to be taken over by the Russians. Thank the Lord, Reagan beat the Russians. No, God provided. And when the Russians come in, everybody knows how they're going to take the Bible away. And I don't know how many preachers I talk about. When they come up here with their machine guns and say, give me your Bible or reject Jesus Christ or I'm going to shoot you, what are you going to do? And when you have to go in hiding and they take all our Bibles away, how much Bible are you going to know? That was a little added incentive, a little scare tactic to get you to read the Bible. But the truth is, we just don't, well, it's not that important. It doesn't mean much to us. And you read about the value of those that were persecuted, that have gone through, and their Bibles were confiscated, burned. They didn't have a copy of Scripture. How did it go to the next generation? They memorized it. You can't take something out of your brain. Once you memorize it, you've got it. When your app doesn't work anymore, when you can't use your phone, when you don't have a smartphone, so you're a dummy like the rest of us, what are you going to do? And how are you going to get victory over sin? And one of the greatest blessings of praying is talking to God through Scripture. Having a two-way conversation with God. when you talk to Him and He brings a scripture to your mind, and you say, oh, wow, that's good, God. Thank you. What else you got for me? And there's just something, and I don't even know how to explain that. But I fear that a lot of people think, well, you're crazy. And you're seeing visions and everything. No, we just learned the value of memorizing scripture. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. My words abide in you. They live in you. They're a part of you. If we're going to train our children, if we're going to walk with God, we've got to memorize scripture. And I'm so glad that someone challenged me as a young Christian. And I wasn't foolish enough to say, well, I can't do that. I said, you know, my preacher said I ought to do that. And other people say you ought to do that. And the Bible says I ought to do that. Maybe I ought to do that. And I decided I'm going to come up with a plan. And I didn't come up with it. Do what other folks said work and begin to memorize Scripture and let God transform my life. If there's, again, I mentioned the things that greatest decisions I ever made in my life, first of all, was salvation. Second was to be faithful to church. I don't care if I'm sick. I don't care if I'm too busy, too tired, or whatever. I will be in church, and I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to jot down notes. I'm going to hear what the preacher says. I'm going to be an encouragement to him. I'm going to come by him after the service and thank him for the message and tell him what God spoke to me about in that message and let him know that I was paying attention. And I'm thankful that I determined I'm going to memorize Scripture. I'm going to study the Scripture and meditate on the Scripture. And, of course, I'm going to marry my wife. It's going to be a help meet that I need to encourage me, to walk beside me and serve the Lord and find the right person. And, by the way, I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't... didn't know where to look, didn't know how to look. I was a new Christian, still living in the flesh of the world and consumed with the ideas of the world and lust and marriage and love and whatever the world calls love and all the things that were pumped into my head over the love songs and had no idea what marriage was all about. But God in His grace brought my wife to me, and I'm so glad He did. And God will lead you if you just follow Him. And how we need to memorize Scripture. What does it... when we meditate on Scripture, that's when it really works. For the Word of God, you know the verse in Hebrews 4, is quick. That's another chapter I've recently committed to memory. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of my heart. I don't know what my heart thinks. I don't know what my thoughts are. And the only way I can find out is by getting into God's Word and letting God's Word get into me and transform my life. And it's amazing. When you memorize Scripture, when you're going about your daily life and God brings something to your mind in a verse, wow, thank you, God. But if that verse wasn't there, it can never get here. And if that verse wasn't there, God couldn't communicate with you like He wants to. And if there's somehow I could encourage you to memorize Scripture, if there's some way I could make you do it, you say, well, I do it. Keep it up. You'll never go wrong with memorizing Scripture. And if you don't have a plan to memorize Scripture, I shared with you the simplest plan I know and the most practical, proven plan that I know. You don't even have to have a computer to do it. In fact, you're better off without a computer. In fact, I have a feeling that I probably would have never made the step to start memorizing Scripture if I lived in the day that we live in today with the information available at our hands. And we've got so many things. We've got information overload. We were concerned when I was a kid about air pollution and water pollution. We ought to be concerned about information pollution today. Information overload. We got so much up here we can't possibly process all of it. We need to just get back to the simplicity of memorizing Scripture and letting God work in our lives. And I challenge you to make a plan, to work that plan, to review that plan. And again, the key is learning to see, write, and hear, and say it out loud. I say those are the principles that really I wasn't taught. Of course, if you're going to have a 3x5 card, the only way you could do it is to write it out back then. So they didn't have to emphasize that. But I found out writing things out was a key part in memorizing things. And then I kind of found this out from trial and error, basically alongside the same way I learned how to read, reading out loud or saying it out loud. And I said when we start services, we're going to ask you to say a verse. If you've been reading it and memorizing it in your mind, when you get up and say it in front of somebody, you ain't going to be able to do it. But if you've been saying it out loud, it's just going to be, I don't know how to explain it, a muscle reflex that you can just automatically do it. You're used to the way it sounds, and it's clearer that way. So I know some of this is not new to you. I hope that it's not new to you. I hope that you have a plan of memorizing Scripture, and I hope that you see the value of it, and you'll implement a plan and say, well, I don't have time for that. I encourage you to keep track of the time that you have. And it doesn't take long. I think it took me... Well, you're probably a lot neater writer than I am. You could probably figure it out by only writing the verse out one or two times instead of five times like me. And you could probably even read yours instead of trying to read my chicken scratch here. But it probably, the time that, and I know I'm a lot slower than you would be, it took probably 10 minutes to write this verse out five times before I got it at least legible for me. And it doesn't take long to just pull it out. You don't have to set I'm going to set 45 minutes apart here for memorizing. No, just pull it out. You got 20 seconds, read through it. Okay, put it away. A couple hours later, you think about it, pull it out, 20 seconds, read through it. Okay. And that's a repetition and also a key part in memorizing. Some of this stuff I learned by learning how to be a student. And again, I was a very poor student. I know it's time to go. The alarm's going off. Hey, that's okay. And some of you could probably cram for a test. I can't do that. If I cram, you just read it. Some of you homeschoolers ever take a test? You know what a test is? You know how to write an essay? I don't know how to do that. But you cram. Some people stay up till midnight. If I stay up till midnight to study for a test, I'm going to fail it. No question about it. I stay up all night and study it. I ain't going to get it. The only way I'm going to get it is practice a little bit this day, a little bit that day, a little bit that day, a little bit that day. And you got a week or so to prepare. And by the time you get it, you got it. And you're actually going to remember it a little bit better, too. But that's just some simple things that, and again, I encourage you to memorize Scripture. A young man... not too long ago that had what I would call a photographic memory. In fact, I think of three kids that back when we had the King's Kids program when I first came here that were that way. They could, you'd give them a gold card, they'd read it and quote it to you. I held my hand back because I wanted to slap them so hard. But it didn't mean anything to them. But they could memorize it. And they never did anything for God. And one person, one young person that said he wanted to live for God, and he had, again, a photographic memory. And I said, he is reading all these books and memorizing all these things. I said, memorize the Scripture. Memorize Scripture. Well, that's not as fun as memorizing all these other things. And you know where he ended up. And no care for the things of God. And no concern for things of God because God's word was not hidden in his heart. There's nothing more important for a Christian than to memorize God's word and to meditate on God's word. Or we'll never make right choices. We'll never do what God wants us to do. I will never be the father, the parent. In Psalm chapter number 1, when I memorized that verse, I thought, wow, I can be a better janitor when I memorize Scripture. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When I got out of college, I thought, I can be a better electrician when I memorize Scripture. You say, was that really what? Isn't that what the Bible says? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And it's not me, it's God. And if we really believe the Word of God, what a difference it would make in our life. I'm going to ask you to stand up.